Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is MC Blair right here at 94.7 WPVC, and we are the To Your Health program right here. I'm the host of To Your Health, and it's gone right this minute. We are brought to you in part by Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center and Hamilton's Restaurant at First and Main. Yep. And we've got a good show for you this morning. We've got I interviewed Dawn Story and Brian Neitzel and Darren Cook down at Farmstead Ferments down there in Scottsville, and had a great interview. We'll be playing that in just a moment. I wanted to share with you the 11 best benefits of peanut butter. That's a good thing, right? It's amazing. They include a reduced risk of diabetes, heart diseases and cancer, degenerative nerve diseases, and control of Alzheimer's. It also helps in decreasing hypertension and the risk of contracting viral and fungal infections. It's a healthy food. It's full of nutrients such as proteins, carbohydrates, monounsaturated fatty acids, folate, niacin, and riboflavin, vitamin E, vitamin C, A, sodium, magnesium, calcium, manganese, selenium, copper, iron, and zinc. And it doesn't cost as much as cashew or pistachio, almonds, or walnuts. They're low-cost nuts, and they offer similar benefits. The first commercial preparation was in 1884 right here in the USA. It's a homegrown. Peanut butter is homegrown. And the amount of peanut butter consumed by the United States alone in 1 year is enough to spread across the floor of the Grand Canyon. Oh, that would be, a grand peanut butter sandwich. Oh, my goodness. I'm kind of corny this morning, aren't I? Well, that's who I am. Thomas Jefferson and Jimmy Carter, both elected presidents, were initially peanut farmers. They contain no saturated fats and can be consumed on a regular basis. I like to take just a big old tablespoon of peanut butter, not on bread, just eat it without all the extra carbohydrates that bread gives you. And then, of course, unless you burn those carbohydrates off like an athlete or just somebody who is getting ready to go work out, maybe burn off 1,000 calories, then you stay away from carbohydrates, because if you don't burn them off immediately, they go right to fat. And actually, peanuts do help you lose weight. That's pretty cool, right? It lowers cholesterol levels. The fat content of peanut butter is almost equal to that of the fats found in olive oil. It contains both polyunsaturated and monounsaturated. And these fats, again, are not unsaturated, as the name says, but they're also good to consume without putting the heart at any risk. Peanut butter, baby. And it's so good. Also, just make sure you're getting the ones where you grind it yourself, and or totally, you know, organic and natural, not the name brands that are loaded with sugar. Not a good one. You need to stay with the natural peanut butter, preferably the one that you grind yourself. It also is can be beneficial in reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes. That's one of our banners, our battle cry, if you will, to help lower the cases of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes, thus reducing the health risks, the health costs, is what I meant to say, the health costs. You know, reduce those. It'll be better for the community all the way around. And, of course, type 2 diabetes is completely controllable by the diet. Peanuts contain not only the protein, but also the unsaturated fats that have noted to improve insulin sensitivity. Research into peanut butter consumption and diabetes showed that a higher intake of peanut butter and other nuts lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes. It's a good source of vitamins. Man, I'll tell you what. You got to get some peanut butter. It contains many of the vitamins that are good for our body to function properly, like A and C, which helps boost the immune system and heals simple ulcers faster. So that's good for the gut. On the other hand, The vitamin E found in peanut butter is very important micronutrient needed for our body to dissolve complex fatty acid structures and fat blockages in the arteries. It'll help unblock your arteries. Come on, are you kidding me? This stuff is great. Antioxidants, due to the presence of folate, niacin, pantothenic acid, and I can't even pronounce the other one, but there's also riboflavin and thiamine. Yes, good stuff. One of the antioxidants found is resveratrol. Now, that's also found in red wine and, of course, in grapes. Resveratrol is a polyphenolic antioxidant which has been found to be effective in controlling certain types of cancers, heart disease, Alzheimer's, and viral or fungal infections, and degenerative nerve diseases. So peanut butter is a, it's amazing. It prevents cancer. It contains B citrosterol, which is a phytosterol that has been great, has a great property of fighting against cancer, particularly colon, prostate, and breast cancers. Wow, those are three big ones there. Peanuts and its products, such as the peanut oil and peanut butter, are ideal sources of the phytosterols. Now, I got to tell you, the French, from what I understand, when they deep fry something, most of the time it's in peanut oil, and it's extremely high heat, so very, very little oil. That's why the properly prepared French meal that has anything deep fried in it, it's not greasy. Because it's so hot, it just doesn't absorb into the coating, and it just makes a beautiful, beautiful coating, and that's the way to go. Peanut oil and run it up to about 425 when you're going to deep fry in peanut oil, and that's the French way. And peanut butter contains potassium. Man, you know you need that. Reduces the risk of gallstones, which... I had a friend that had some gallbladder problem, gallstones, and it's not pretty when they have to go in and operate. It's rich in dietary fiber. We all need fiber, right? Yes, sir. Keeps things rolling through on a natural basis. Gives you that smooth move, as I like to say. Peanut butter is, yes, it's high in dietary fiber. One cup. Approximately 125 grams of peanuts and peanut butter has 12 grams and 20 grams of dietary fiber, respectively. Dietary fiber is one of the most important parts of our diet. And because if you lack dietary fiber, it can lead to health problems and diseases such as constipation. No one likes that. Diabetes, cholesterol, and various heart diseases. Now, you do, they give you a word of caution, they say, because if you have a peanut allergy, man, oh man, that's not good, and you want to obviously stay away from it. The symptoms of the allergy includes vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, asthma, and that's just not good. If untreated, the anaphylactic shock can be fatal. My wife had went into one of those and needed that EpiPen. And it actually worked wonders. According to the study, about 3 million Americans are presently affected by peanut and tree nut allergies. So that's just a word for you. Peanuts are good for you. Peanut butter is good for you unless you are allergic. Prevents all sorts of problems. And so without further ado, I want to get into this interview with Dawn Story. Brian Neitzel and Darren Clark's input is really, really good. You need to listen to this. Farmstead Ferments, and they are down in Scottsville. So enjoy.
Enjoy. Hey, this is MC Blair. I'm with Don Story and Brian Neitzel of Farmstead Ferments in Scottsville. They just opened this lovely retail outlet. Actually, it's retail and mercantile. Is that? Yeah. In the old style. It's really, really a great place, and you ought to get to it. 330 Valley Street, just the last block before you go over the bridge in Scottsville headed south. So, Don, if you could just give a brief history of fermentation.
Yeah, well, it's funny that we're even talking about fermentation as if it's something new and trendy, because actually it is an ancient food preservation technique. So in terms of history, anthropologists have pointed to cultures from all around the globe throughout all spans of time that have been fermenting foods throughout their entire history. These were probably our first food preservation methods, in fact, maybe drying food as well. But if you think about it, refrigeration and even canning, those technologies are only about 100 or 200 years old, which is extremely young when you consider the amount of time humankind has been on the planet. So this is ancient technology done by people without degrees in microbiology, probably in unsanitary conditions, and has kept people alive and well for centuries.
I'll be darned, I had always heard about the salting of food, you know, similar result, but mm-hmm. I did know fermentation went back a ways.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the story of why fermented foods?
Fermented foods cover a lot of ground, and they are known as being nutrient-dense foods. I would say that they are almost a magic bullet in terms of covering a lot of ground. So, for example, a lot of people are concerned about eating a lot of local and organic food right now, but if you are not digesting and assimilating that local and organic food, you're not getting the most bang for your buck. So, first and foremost, fermented foods are known for assisting with digestion. One of the reasons for that is because they are actually pre-digested foods. You can consider your little fermentation crock or your little jar of fermented foods pre-digested for you. And when you think about it, digestion takes a toll on the body. It actually is quite a laborious effort for the body to digest what you eat. That's why you sometimes feel tired after you eat, especially after big, heavy meals. So instead of spending all this time on digestion, your body can focus on, you know, healing a wound or just, you know, repairing some other injury you have, or even just resting. Fermented foods are also the first line of defense for building your immune system. 70 to 80% of the immune cells are found in the lining of the gut, in fact. So when you are trying to boost your immune system, of course you want to take your echinacea tea and things like that, eat your garlic, but you also want to ingest fermented foods. They also assist with balance of the mind and body. Science is beginning to point out what our ancestors knew a long, long, long time ago, that the gut is actually can be referred to as the second brain. So science is beginning to treat gut health for mental health issues. So in terms of depression, bipolar disorders, autism, Alzheimer's, all these things are now being treated through the gut.
I had no idea.
Yeah, so if you Google that, you can find all kinds of new information on that. But again, it goes back to what our ancestors inherently knew.
Right.
Even Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut, and I believe that was 500 BC.
Yeah, you know, other animals, other than human, inherently know what to eat, when to eat it, all those sorts of things, which I find. I love nature shows, so I'm always watching. And these, you don't have to point anything out to them. They're going to find what they need to survive in that area. So I guess that's very similar. We just knew back in the day.
Well, in fact, humans, it's important to point out that humans did not invent fermentation. In fact, what you said is spot on. What probably happened is we observed it occurring naturally in our environment. In fact, we probably observed animals figuring it out first. For example, a deer would come by and eat the apples on the ground and maybe get a little tipsy, and maybe one day some human said, hey, I'm going to try that apple, that deer. Looks like maybe it's having a little bit of fun. And probably also what happened is, as a matter of just survival, people would try to preserve food as best they could in the conditions they had to deal with. So someone at some time probably placed some fruits or some vegetables or what have you in some type of vessel, and at some point it started fermenting spontaneously on its own, which can be done without the help of humans. And someone was brave enough to taste it, decided, wow, this tastes really good, perhaps even better than it did to begin with.
Right.
So, and one thing to point out is that even fermentation vessels are, I'm not going to say they're new, but the first fermentation vessel, and think about it, as long as humankind has been on the planet, we didn't have even clay pots. So what did folks do? Well, what they did is they would dig a hole in the ground and line the hole with leaves, and they would pack the hole with either fruits or vegetables or meats even, and cover it up and let the earth itself serve as the brewing vessel for fermented foods. And the low temperatures of the earth would keep a consistent temperature that would catalyze the fermentation process.
Wow, looks like you've done a lot of research on the subject.
I have.
So what got you started in the business in fermenting, and then go through the time that you said, well, we'll call it Farmstead Ferments, and kind of take us through your story?
Well, kind of went back a little further than that. When I was a little girl, I was always the one drinking the pickle juice and the olive juice out of the jar when it was done. I was that child. And I even liked the bad kind. When I say bad kind, I don't mean necessarily bad for you or even bad tasting. I mean there are versions of fermented foods that are now just marinated in vinegar. And there are also versions of fermented foods that actually are fermented, but then they're heat canned. And so we can talk about what that is. But even those kinds, which are not the preferred kinds, I even liked those. Even the sauerkraut in a can, I still loved that. So my first awareness of these foods was through their taste. I just loved their zippy and zesty taste. Then as I became an adult and started being more conscious about what I was eating, I discovered that these foods had an enormous array of health benefits, which we can talk about maybe after I tell you how I got here. And then I was also, at that time, I was treating people with herbal remedies. I'm an herbalist and had a consultation practice, and I found that I spent more time talking about diet than anything, because I could give you all the herbal tea in the world, but if you're not going to change your diet, then we're not going to be able to accomplish a whole lot. So I started recommending foods and just kept going back to fermented foods time and time again, because they cover so much ground. And I would say over 50% of the cases that I would treat would have to do with gut health or immune health. And those are specifically things that are very well treated by fermented foods. So, and then the third or fourth, I'm losing count, but just as a gardener, I was always met with the trial and tribulation of what to do with all this produce. It's all ready all at once. And I'm just not a big fan of canning. I just never have liked it. It's hot. I hurt myself in the process. And I also know that canning food kills the nutritional value. So never was a big fan of that. And then lastly, because I'm just a fan of the old ways, I'm very much attached to the idea of keeping alive the skills of our ancestors so that we may continue to have them and continue to pass them down from generation to generation so they don't get lost. So all those things pointed to fermentation for me. So it pretty much took over my life.
So when did Farmstead Ferments officially come into being?
I believe 2010 was the year where I started getting super serious about it.
Yeah, I remember Jeff Robinson, a mutual friend, came by my kitchen back at McIntyre Park and asked me about possibly, doing a partnership with you guys. I said, sure, and that was the last I heard, so I'm glad that you found a place to do your Farmstead Ferments, and that's, he kind of alerted me to it, that this is coming, so, and I was glad, I'm so glad. I get them all the time at, I guess, IY or Rebecca's, and I understand. And there's a whole host of things which we'll talk about a little later in the interview. So we know about that. And one of the things at your grand opening a couple of Saturdays ago, I noticed that you were doing chorizo sausage and egg and then topped with various fermented products. The red cabbage was my favorite and some others that you had. And that to me was, as a chef, I had never even thought about that. And when I ate it, I went, oh my goodness, the flavor profile is amazing. So how did that come in? I mean, did you just, gee, I wonder if we put this on this, or is that really, that's how it came about? Or?
Well, I'll let Brian talk a little bit about that, because he, I believe, was in charge of most of what we were tasting
that day.
But just I'll quickly say, we call fermented foods the party on the plate. And there's good reason for that. But Brian, explain some of the pairings to the audience.
Well, you know, I've learned from Dawn, there's not a meal that goes by without a fermented food present. And yes, it's even good for breakfast. What I was hoping to do was show people how to use fermented foods in different ways. So we had it on the quote-unquote breakfast, like you had it. We also had it in a grilled cheese sandwich, which would represent the lunch. We had it in the crock pot, which represents dinner.
The barbacoa. We had a barbacoa barbecue. And
so basically, you should have your kraut out for every meal. Pears, we have a flavor that will pair with pretty much anything that you choose to eat.
It's so good. It's
just look for the cookbook someday.
Right.
Not quite yet.
Okay, cookbook coming. So how do people look you up?
Our website is www.farmsteadferments.com. Or you can just come on down and meet us in person at 330 Valley Street in Scottsville. We are on the right, just before you pass the bridge, just like MC said.
That's awesome. Tell me about...
So we are going to take a little bit of break here, and we will be back. So stay with us. And I was, we'll get back to the interview now. And we are Dawn Story and Brian Neitzel, and then a little later we'll have here from Darren Cook, Farmstead Ferments, right in Scottsville. And they can be found all over their products, Rebecca's, IY, Whole Foods. It's just on and on and on. They are everywhere. So here we go. Back to the interview.
Tell me about Freebird Farm. This is really nice.
Well, that's just the name of our farm. We do, our farm is about 8 miles down the road from our kitchen, and that is where we grow much of the produce that is used in the krauts and pickles and beverages, actually. We have how much under cultivation?
Roughly three to five acres.
If you count fruit trees.
And the birds do have free range of the whole farm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got to have that. So do you deal with other farms as well, or...
We do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do. We love partnering with the other local producers in the area, and it's not unusual for someone just to show up here with an armload of turnips. For example, just the other day, the guy that brings us eggs just happened to have some turnips, and we make a flavor called Turnip the Beet, and we were making it that week, and it was perfect timing, so we took his turnips, and our hot sauce was, we've always wanted to make the hot sauce, but we were inspired to actually get going with it the day that someone came to us with a crate full of Carolina Reapers,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
So that's how...
That was Carolina what?
Reapers.
Oh, Reapers,
peppers,
okay.
Yeah, the peppers.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah,
it's too hot for me to eat, but some of the hot sauce people really love that pepper. And so a lot of our recipes are inspired by what's in season and what walks in the door.
That's old school right there.
It was also a great year for tomatoes, and hence our line of fermented ketchup.
Oh, man, is that good. That's good, folks, let me tell you. I had some leftover brown rice. I do a green chili thing with rice and either pork or chicken, and I had some leftover rice. And I said, I'd make a great snack, but just rice. And I'm not putting a bunch of butter in there, which used to be my deal. And then I saw that ketchup in there. I said, So I mixed a couple of tablespoons of that in there. Unbelievably good.
Great idea.
Absolutely.
Like a Spanish rice?
Yeah, And it was so good. And I ate it cold. I can imagine hot would even be better, And I will say that if you eat the ketchup, my experience, since it is Chipotle, it had a little heat to it. Not enough to call it really hot, but a little heat. When I mixed it with the rice, that heat went away, and the flavor just permeated the rice. It was just absolutely delicious. So there you go, folks. You can turn some leftover into a real nice meal, for sure.
The definition of fermentation, actually, which maybe I can provide for your listeners right now, and then we can talk about the difference between fermentation and canning. Because and even the definition of the word pickle can be confusing. So fermentation is the microbial transformation of food by various yeast, fungi, and bacteria. A longer definition of that is fermentation occurs when certain environmental conditions are met, wherein the naturally occurring yeast and bacteria and fungi on food feast upon the naturally occurring sugars and starches in food, creating a food that is more well-preserved, tastier, more delicious, and more safe. You can take your choice of those two definitions, but that's what fermentation is, whereas canning is a whole separate process. Mm-hmm. That's finds a fantastic canner. Basically, you're sterilizing jars. You are putting hot food in those jars. Is this how you do it, Brian?
Correct.
And then you are heating that for a certain amount of time. And the goal is to sterilize.
To keep the air out. No transformation can take place because it's created this vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's a vacuum in the sterile environment. Whereas with fermentation, it's completely opposite. You're not going for sterilization. You're actually wanting to encourage the proliferation of the beneficial bacteria by creating these auspicious conditions that the bacteria can grow and flourish and keep the bad bacteria at bay. Uh-huh. So what happens is the good bacteria populate, and that's the reason the bad bacteria cannot exist. The other reason is the bad bacteria, when I say bad, I'm talking about E. coli, right, botulism, and salmonella, the three biggies, they cannot survive in the acidic environment of fermented foods either. So it's important to mention to folks that these foods are new to, that the USDA has zero reported cases of foodborne illness as a result of fermented foods.
Oh, that's good.
So they are extremely safe because the bad bacteria just cannot survive in them. Okay. If anything, if they go quote-unquote bad, occasionally they might get some mold on them just like any other food in your refrigerator, but it's certainly not deadly unless you have some type of unusual allergy to just regular old mold.
So you offer classes, is that correct?
We do. We just had two sold-out classes the day after our grand opening. We started a sign-up sheet because we had to tell some people no, and we didn't like doing that, so we do have a list going, and we will be running it again, so make sure you get your name on that list.
That is awesome. That was going to be my next question. What's the response? I think you just told me. I want to sign up.
Well, just info@farmsteadferments.com if you want to be notified, or like us on Facebook, and we usually announce our workshops well in advance, so if you're our friend on Facebook, you'll see that as well.
And I wanted to mention, for people that have never been here, this is, as you know, an interactive store where we can answer any of your questions, and you can basically get school anytime you come here. We'll take care of you.
Well, I was talking to Darren Cook outside earlier, and he seemed excited to be here, which that's always good as a customer to see that the staff is, likes what they're doing and wants to be here. That's a real. Sometimes you're going to places and everybody's hang dog, and you go, I don't know if I want to buy anything from these folks. You don't even want to be here, But I believe that. I think your staff is awesome.
We can bring Darren back here if you'd like, and he's a very articulate young man.
Oh, well, we probably should do that. I use the red cabbage, my favorite, as a midnight snack. Maybe 4 or 5 tablespoons of the red cabbage, and it actually assuages my appetite, and I'm sure is a way a lot better for me.
Wise choice.
So do you have any experience with that, people using it as just a snack?
Oh, yeah. Often when we ask people how they enjoy eating the product, because we do like to know what their favorite recipes or ways to use it. So many times the answer is just straight out of the jar.
Yeah.
I'm standing in front of the refrigerator eating it straight out of the jar. We get that comment a lot.
Let me ask you this. If a person were to do that, and yes, I have done that, but as a former chef, I know that from food safety standpoint.
Well, so here's the thing. I wouldn't mind taking a step back a little bit and talk a little bit about bacteria specifically and the health benefits. So just quickly, the fermentation unleashes a wide spectrum of vitamins and minerals and amino acids, electrolytes, enzymes in any food that is fermented. But they're most famous for being probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important right now. Everybody's talking about probiotics. And what that means is the probiotics, that is the beneficial bacteria in the fermented foods, mimic the microbiome of our guts, or at least the microbiome microbiome our guts are supposed to have. And a lot of people don't realize that we are loaded with bacteria. Our insides, our outsides, everything in our surrounding environment, anywhere you look, anywhere you touch, we're all coated with bacteria. And that might be something that makes people uncomfortable, but it really, bacteria has a huge role in our bodies, our soil. A lot of people are talking about soil health right now, and ultimately what that conversation about is the microflora of the soil. So in terms of health, the bacteria is vital to our survival. Right now we live in a time when there is what we would call a war on bacteria, and the message to most of the populace is that bacteria must be eradicated. So we are bombarded with hand sanitizers and soaps and sterilization and homogenization and pasteurization of our food and over-prescribed antibiotics and fluorinated and chlorinated water, and all these things wipe out the microbiome of our bodies. And that is why we are seeing such an increase in digestive issues and immune health issues as well. So because we're constantly assaulting ourselves in all these various ways, our microbiomes that is, we would be wise to incorporate a wide array of fermented foods in our diets. And so it's not just enough to just drink kombucha or just eat yogurt or just eat sauerkraut. You can do that, and that's better than nothing, but each fermented food product has a different bacterial, a list of different players. Bacterial players that show up on the scene, and some of them are the same, but there certainly are unique ones to each food. And we have over a trillion different microbes in our bodies. It's 100 trillion actually, and 500 species just in our stomach alone. So we're talking eat a diverse array of foods, but you also want to eat them at the various stages in their fermentation. So a 4-week-old sauerkraut is going to have these 20 strains of beneficial bacteria, but the 8-week version of that is going to have a bunch of new ones on the scene.
But a good way to look at it, condense it down, is if you look at your stomach as an engine that drives the body, an engine is not going to run properly unless you use the right fuel. In this case, the right fuel is fermented foods.
Right.
But to circle back to your question, you basically were saying, can you eat out of the jar and it not go bad?
Right.
So I just wanted to point out that, you know, what's going on in that jar is a jar full of beneficial bacteria that's keeping the bad bacteria at bay. Again, the worst that might happen is it might go moldy, and it's usually because someone stuck a dirty finger or a fork in there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're sharing your house,
yeah,
or running a kitchen, you might not want to do that just as a courtesy, but, you know, for the most part, if you're going to do that to any type of food, these are probably the safest ones.
Yeah. I see that. I do. I really do.
You know how food today is, modern food is weaponized.
Yes.
In fact, with the stuff that's in it, can actually shut down our bodies and make the nutrients that you take in, even if you are eating properly, if you're still eating the junk that won't allow your body to utilize it, it's still a net zero effect. So if you're eating crap.
Processed.
So, in the bigger picture, it'd be nice to have people aware of what they're actually putting in their mouth. And a lot of people aren't. They just want that instant gratification of that sweet.
Or the maximum carbs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that hamburger at McDonald's, because their body is addicted to that.
We're now going to go out into the store. You'll hear a little background music, which is great. And we'll be talking to Darren Cook as well. So we're in the store. This beautiful bar is here with all sorts of herbs in the background. And you guys, tell me a little about what you offer right here.
So the Mercantile, of course, features Farmstead Ferments products, our krauts, our pickles, our salsas, chutneys, kraut juices, pickle juices, water kefir soda, kombucha, and starter cultures so that you can make your own. But we also have a wide array of bulk herbs and herbal teas and medicines and body care products. And in fact, the building has been many bars and restaurants in the town of Scottsville. So if you can envision a beautiful giant wooden bar, behind the bar, instead of bottles of booze, we have all kinds of beautiful leaves and flowers and twigs and roots and things like that. And we love turning people on to that as medicine as well as the fermented foods. So on tap, we have what we call our soda bar. Our water kefir soda is something we haven't talked a whole lot about. But
so we're talking with Darren Cook here. And how long have you been with Farmstead Ferments?
I've been with Farmstead Ferments for about 2 months now.
2 months. And I understand you had some things to say that you wanted us to know about. I know I'm interested, quite frankly.
Yes, sir. So the company is around for quite a while now, doing the juices and the krauts and the pickles, and a lot of the public knows us from the farmer's market for those particular things. But something the general public doesn't know, if they haven't come in and visited our shop yet, is we have full apothecary that we've recently started. At least over a dozen house blends of tea, lots of medicinals. We focus a lot on reishi mushrooms in our house blends, a very adaptogenic mushroom. We also can do a wide array of custom blends. If we have a customer who comes in who needs an herbal blend for a particular remedy or a particular reason, or even simply taste preferences, then we can put something together for you for a very good price and get the job done.
Sound like you have a passion for it.
Absolutely. I've been learning a lot here.
Good.
It's taught me a lot about the herbal knowledge, and happy to be able to make my job being able to help people feel better by the tea blends.
Excellent. I know I feel better after drinking the kefir.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Favorite of mine, of course.
Water kefir soda.
Water kefir soda.
What is that, right? So water kefir soda basically just means fermented water that we have combined with a starter culture called water kefir grains. So not so much grains and like rice or grasses, but it's basically just little bumpy beads of yeast and bacteria that we mix with water and organic cane sugar, which serves as the food for the culture. And once you combine all these things in a vessel, the fermentation process is catalyzed, and when the water is fermented, you are left with unflavored fermented water to play with. So that's where the fun comes in, and Brian can talk about that more, but because he's our brewer, and we basically are inspired once again by the seasons and what's available in terms of what we're going to flavor our sodas with. So the flavors are always changing, and Brian can talk about some of his favorite things to work with.
Well, my favorite things are the unusual things, and I think last year alone, by my count, we did like 54 different flavors of soda throughout the year. Some of the most unique ones are honeysuckle, just because it's really hard to pick enough honeysuckle to flavor a batch. Autumn olive is also a treat. Persimmon, pawpaw. And pawpaw, by the way, is the drink that we made where we won a first place trophy in a fermentation challenge last summer. Whatever's in season, like Dawn said, we are inspired by the season, and that's what we teach people is use what's available. Apples, grapes, those are obvious ones.
Blueberries, raspberries.
And when it's in season, if we can't use it, we freeze it. So we absolutely use the fruit when we flavor. We don't use an imitation.
I understand.
It's all fresh. It's all real. We use dried herbs this time of year as well. Catnip is an herb that people wouldn't think to use in a soda, but that's a great flavor that people really enjoy. Nettle is very medicinal.
So catnip, my cat eats a lot of catnip and tends to exhibit some wild behavior. Do you get a little like woozy or you
catnip actually has a calming effect on humans.
Actually the opposite effect on humans.
Yes.
So we use it in a lot of calming blends as well as a lot of digestive blend. So, and it has that nice minty flavor, so we use it a lot.
That's so awesome. You ferment, and everybody knows when fermentation a lot of times brings out the alcohol in the process, so won't get alcoholic?
I got this one here.
All right, Darren.
So the beauty of kombucha and water kefir cultures is it's a symbiotic relationship between a yeast and a bacteria. So the yeast, as we already know through beer and winemaking, will devour the sugar in the mix and create alcohol. But then the reason that our mixes don't become alcoholic is because the bacteria part of the colony actually feeds off of the ethanol, breaks down the alcohol, and creates organic acids that are highly beneficial for us out of it.
That's amazing. Drink a lot of kefir and you walk away and still drive. So
it's a wonderful thing that both the water kefir soda and the kombucha make marvelous replacements for both just regular soda as well as alcoholic drinks. Mm-hmm. And they
really fill both of those niches quite beautifully. They taste great. They do make you feel energized, and your thirst is completely quenched due to the enzymes and the electrolytes. You'll find that you crave these beverages after a while because your body just knows inherently that, hey, this is good for me. So they're wonderful if you're trying to get off soda. They're wonderful if you're trying to go out at night but not drink a lot but want something fun to drink. And it's something that we can certainly provide for you. And you can also just learn how to make it at home.
In one of your classes.
Exactly. In one of the classes.
So. That's awesome. So what about the kraut juices you were talking about earlier, Dawn?
Yeah, so we have both kraut juice and pickled juice. And those are separate processes, but basically what's happening is they are the what we call the liquid gold that's left in the fermentation vessels after we've pulled everything out of the vessel and jarred it into our little, you know, tiny jars. So there's always some beautiful liquid left in there, and we definitely do not throw that out. We treasure that liquid, and sometimes it's from a kraut and sometimes it's from a pickle, but there's different ways that we use it. One way is just to take little shots of it. It's a very energizing blast of enzymes and electrolytes. It's just the same way the actual food would be. But it's our secret weapon in the kitchen as well. So everything we saute, everything we simmer, our soups, everything gets a little splash of this probiotic, zesty, zingy goodness to just completely up the wow factor in terms of whatever we're making. So if you can just envision kale, it's not uncommon to add a splash of vinegar to kale, as most of you probably know. But if you add some fermented liquid that is also tangy, just like vinegar, you are achieving the same thing, but you're also getting some of the health benefits. Now, I should probably also mention, because some of your readers are savvy, and I know they're going to ask, well, don't you kill the probiotics when things get hot? And the answer is yes. Anything over, say, roughly 105 degrees, you will kill some of the probiotics. But you can always cook with it for the flavor, and then you can always add some raw on top of whatever you're eating so that you can also get the probiotic effects. So soups are a great way to use the juices, but like I said, little shots. However, my favorite way to use the kraut and pickle juice is as salad drizzle. And I call it drizzle because I used to mix it with olive oil, but I have found that I don't even want the oil anymore. I just like to pour a little bit of, say, asparagus dill kraut juice or tangy turmeric kraut juice or just any of my favorite kraut juice or pickle juice blends. Just pour it right on top of my salad greens.
You know, another use for our juice is as a recovery drink for anyone that might be an athlete that likes to run or whatever. You might want to forego the Gatorade and substitute it with a naturally beneficial drink like ours to, like Dawn said, to replenish your, it's full of electrolytes and minerals and all the health benefits you could want out of a recovery type drink.
Yeah, I'll mention that to one of our volunteers. She's a professional track person, and she's big in track at UVA, Jordan Lavender, and she's one of the volunteers here at WPVC. So I'll definitely pass that on. We'll get some customers there on a track team, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how Gatorade started.
Nature's,
you know,
Gatorade.
Yeah. Feedback, yeah.
Nature's Gatorade. That's a great way to sell that. Get a little more biz, right?
Yeah.
I did want to add something for people who are new to fermented foods in general, because during the fermentation process, the bacteria feed on the sugars. So if you have a diet that's high in sugar and you introduce the ferments, there will be some interaction there with the two, and it will produce gas. So if you do take ferments for the first time and you become gassy, that is natural. It's not a bad thing. You just have to embrace it and stay with it for 2 to 3 weeks, and it will pass as your system becomes acclimated to the new bacteria.
Well, that's good to know. Well, as you listeners know, that To Your Health has always been dedicated and passionate about community-based agriculture as a way to interact with the community in every way that you can. Farmstead Ferments Mercantile Exchange has done that. They've embraced the local meat farmers, the pastured pork and poultry, the grass-fed beef, by offering some of that
in their store
from these other farms, which I found really neat. So what do you want to talk a little bit
bit about how that came about?
Yeah, well, we just really want this place to be, of course, we want it to be a venue for folks to get our products, but we really want it to be a place where all of the local artisans can have a way to get their products to market, because that is definitely one of the challenges in small farming, is getting the product to the consumer, because farmers markets are wonderful, but they're usually only one day a week, just a couple hours on that day, and then they're also seasonal.
That's
so
true.
What are you going to do, you know, on a Monday afternoon when you need eggs? So we do carry eggs from two different farms, actually. We also carry grass-fed and pastured meats from about four or five different farms in the area. We carry herbal body products and medicines from local producers, seasonal produce, fresh-cut flowers in the summertime. We carry two different local cheeses. So we really are advocates of supporting our fellow farmers. We know how hard they're working out there, and their stuff is the best. And so that's what
that is so true.
To be, yeah.
Well, there you have it, guys. This is MC Blair, and I am with Don Story and Brian Neitzel, as we had talked to Darren Cook. I got to tell you, you guys are definitely true assets to the community. Thanks for interviewing with us.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all you do.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, that was it. Wonderful, wonderful interview with Don Story and Brian Neitzel, and of course with some really good nuggets from Darren Cook. When you go down there, you'll probably see Darren behind the bar or going around the store, and he's a wealth of knowledge. So thanks again, guys. Really, really enjoyed that. We're going to take a little break, and we will be back shortly. And we are back right here at To Your Health on 94.7 WPVC. The progressive voice, the voice of resistance, right here in Charlottesville. And from 11 to 12 is, of course, To Your Health, and you're listening to it right here on WPVC. We have another interview. I was able to get Matt Rohde, a few minutes with him, and we'll probably play this for a little bit, and then we will break that up and play the rest of it next week. Right here at 94.7 on To Your Health, WPVC. So here is that interview with Matt Rohde of Carpe Donut and Perfect Harmony.
Hey, this is MC Blair. I'm with Matt Rohde of Carpe Donut, one of the great vendors at the City Market and, of course, now the Winter Market. But I wanted to talk to you, Matt, more about Perfect Harmony, your distribution company connected with Amazon, I believe, and also Food Access.
Absolutely, Mike. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks.
We had a good first Winter Market. We should definitely talk about that a little bit today because that was really fun. And it was nice to see such a good turnout, a lot of people interested in direct access to food, even when it gets really cold and nasty out. But to give you a short update about Perfect Harmony, Carpe, we have been distributing for, I guess, going on about 7 months. We started right at the beginning of June, end of May. It's definitely a complicated picture, and my partner in Perfect Harmony, Uday Gupta, we were crunching numbers recently and kind of looking at this. So we thought it would be really easy to bring new brands on board, and we're in dialogue with a bunch of different organic and regenerative food producers in the area, and there is still a lot of interest in that. It does turn out to be very complicated. So besides Uday selling organic chicory and now cassava flour on that platform, and our donuts, the only person we brought in before Christmas was Cass Cannon, who makes Peg Salt. So she's making a homemade seasoned salt, and her initial sales have been very encouraging. What I think we're looking at as trying to create a complete alternative channel to the traditional grocery or, say, a farmer's market channel for sales is the missing component at this stage is a marketing component. That's a little hard for me to wrap my head around. I'll tell you that that's not my area of expertise. I know I need that kind of marketing help. I'm going to be sitting down with probably one of the better or well-regarded digital media companies here in town, Flourish Digital Media, and I'm meeting with John Copper later this week to talk about how to promote these kinds of alternative sales channels for organic and regenerative food.
That's great.
Yeah, we're going to start with Carpe. We're going to take some of the money that we've made so far and try to funnel it back into driving more sales. So I'd say that we were probably a little optimistic about how fast this would all develop, but we weren't optimistic optimistic about there being a real demand, both from the producer side and from the consumer side, to get better access for this kind of food for people.
That sounds like you're really making some good strides.
It's work. You know, the work has gotten done. I don't feel like too much has been wasted. You know, it's always sobering or a little daunting to realize, oh gosh, I was a real optimist 5 months ago. I thought this would happen very easily. And it has gone really well, but it's not going fast. So we would like to put the pedal down a little bit. And I think working with a local digital media company is a good first step for something like that.
I agree. I totally agree. Those folks definitely have been doing their research, and they should be able to dovetail right into your project.
Well, and I got John and Flourish Digital recommended to me by one of my favorite people in the local food community. That was Chris Ann Raymer at Noble Burger. So somebody who's already done this work to help promote an organic or natural food brand that operates the way Noble does, that's what I need to hear to want to jump on board and try to develop that partnership.
So that's Noble Burger, as
yes.
in N-O-B-U-L-L, no beef.
Correct. They are also a Noble Enterprise.
I understand.
Their name
I agree.
Is Noble Burger.
right.
Chris Ann has been a longtime friend, and I really admire the way they do their production and distribution. And then I kind of noticed, wow, they do a great job with marketing and brand recognition, and I asked her how that was coming about, and that fosters that introduction. Certainly making food in Charlottesville, a lot of resources and approaches happen that way. I sit down to talk with Michael at Planet Earth Diversified and hear more about the changes that are coming to our city market. Mm-hmm. That's how the information flows in our community.
Yeah,
sure.
It does. I've known Chris Ann for a number of years, and when I remember she was in the catering business next to this kitchen, which is your kitchen now, and she moved into that. I remember when she moved into it and sold her interest to Maria. So.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, I don't know if we've ever done full disclosure about how we got to know each other, but I bought the production kitchen for Carpe Donut from you.
Yep.
We started as a short-term joint venture, and we needed the space more than you did, and it was time to wrap up there. So, they're our next-door neighbors, and I've known those guys for a good long time, just as family friends as well.
Oh, okay, yeah. Before you came to
into the Carpe Donut world.
Exactly. Oh man, that's awesome. So they're definitely doing some things. What about the winter market?
I was really encouraged by that first iteration of the winter market. You know, the market manager there is Barbara Shiflett. I worked with her for years at Harvest Moon Catering. They've got a lot of some of my favorite brands from the city market have decided to give this a try as well. So there does feel like there's a good critical mass of people who know how to do this sort of vending and make for a really positive customer experience. And we had a good turnout. I would have called that a very good turnout considering how cold it was, and it was the very first time.
It was cold.
Being tried. what I'm hoping we'll get to see over some time is simply more vegetables. And it's hard, of course, in the middle of winter to come up with, you know, winter vegetables, even in as friendly a climate as Charlottesville, because this last month has not felt that friendly. So I guess it's going to fall to people who are running greenhouses in the area to see if they can generate enough product. But there's a lot of good food there. There's a lot of great crafts, as is always the case, and some value-added stuff. I saw good meats and eggs. So I know that there's a lot of food to be purchased there. It would be great to see maybe a couple more vegetable folks be able to come in and find a path to help supply Charlottesville during the winter.
Well, I agree. And I was there. Also, the last 2 years, Free Union Grass Farm had used that space, that property to do their winter drops on Saturday. So they were sort of the pioneers to the winter market.
Well, we talk about pathways of desire.
Yeah.
If there's a 50 people who are used to swinging by the X parking lot on a Saturday morning, that is a great start for getting some
really
market.
It really is.
Absolutely.
It really is. And that's a great property to have it there because there's so much there.
Ludwig and Susan and Brian, the folks who've been kind of behind the X Art Park, I think have wanted to do this kind of project for a good long time. So it's nice to see the momentum develop this year. You know, like a lot of market vendors, I love my participation in our city market, but I do stress a little bit over what January, February, and March looks like. In the last couple of years, Carpe Donut has sent a truck up to Washington, D.C. to participate in a year-round market. So much happier to drive down the street street to the XR Park to get in front of some customers, once a week.
Right, but then you also have the Carpet Cafe down there, which is...
It certainly doesn't hurt to be able to hand out some free donut tokens to get people to go down and try a cappuccino at the cafe there, and this market tends to wrap up around lunchtime, and I think we had a very nice Saturday at the Carpet Cafe, I think because of all that.
Well, I know I've had a couple paninis there.
Excellent.
And that's unbelievably good. Just absolutely great.
Well, the cafe project has developed very nicely. We're just about 1 year in doing that project. We are partnering with a lot of the local regenerative food makers or organic food makers. So when you go into the cafe, you can get Ula tortilla chips. You can have a Noble burger or potentially, some Farmstead ferment sauerkraut on your Reuben panini. This was part of the vision from the very beginning. Our partnerships with the local food hub and Polyface Farm there for our eggs and other products is what that identity is supposed to be. I don't know if we've done a great job yet of being able to tell that story. We might have been a little bit too busy trying to write that story for the first year. And so we'll be trying to develop that a little bit better as the year unfolds. One thing I'm going to be adding over the next couple weeks is instead of buying a lot of potato chips to go with our sandwiches and wraps, we're going to put in an organic gourmet popcorn bar and start popping popcorn. That'll be another side dish or snack that's available.
Sure.
And, we actually have a beer and wine license there. We want to start doing some more evening programming. We've been doing some work with TJU, and we'd like to talk to other radio stations, etc. But we want to do some music programming, some comedy programming, maybe poetry, that sort of thing that we can do in that art space that's right next door to us at the cafe.
And that is a great, great idea. You folks should get down there, the Carpet Cafe, check out the space. If there's any groups down there that could sponsor something and use that space, I believe you will be really, really happy that you did. Hey, you're listening to Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And, of course, you can now stream it live. Just use the numbers 947, then WPVC.org, and click the Listen Live button so you can hear all our really good programming, not only on Saturdays and Sundays, but also during the week for the national shows like Stephanie Miller and the Devil's Advocates, Tom Hartman, and Democracy Now!, Leslie Marshall. I mean, we are just loaded with good info for you during the week and the weekends right here at 94.7 WPVC, the voice of resistance right here in Charlottesville. Now it's time for our two-minute drill right here at To Your Health. We end each show with this two-minute drill. Do you believe in God or any other intelligent design model? Well, then it stands to reason that you must also believe that the diets of the earliest humans, the hunter-gatherers, the times before we committed agriculture, the times before we had long-distance communications devices, and you have to believe that the diets of those folks were also intended and designed and created. They varied tremendously because, of course, they were always locally sourced. There weren't any grocery stores or farms or any of that sort of thing, but they ate depending on where they were. Some folks, like up in the northern climes, had diets of pure animal fat and meat for most of the year, at least 10 or 11 months. The folks in the savanna, the warmer climes, insects, lizards, amphibians, and hundreds of plants all year. As I said, each diet was radically different depending on their location, but they were all correct for those particular people. You understand that? It's where you live. That's the most important way to eat. And that's where we're so sick today because we've, as a whole, discarded those intended diets. They were originally designed, created. They were created for optimum health. And it all depended on where you live. They were radically different, but they were all correct. This is the reason why we at To Your Health are so committed to a community-based food system as a viable way to reduce obesity, type 2 diabetes, and general health care costs. Can you imagine if we put a dent, 20%, 30% reduction in those two things, 40%. I mean, quite frankly, and, you know, it is true, but we could, you know, almost eliminate it or make it very rare instead of so common the way it is now. And then also we would achieve a more cooperative, culinary, interconnected local society. The staff here will also be proactive by working with the many established programs, administrators, and city government officials to further this important agenda. Now, you as listeners can help by volunteering, contributing, and purchasing as much local sustainably grown and raised foods, regeneratively grown, if you will, as possible. Your bodies and your children's improved health will thank you in many ways. I want to thank Dawn Story, Brian Neitzel, and Darren Cook of Farmstead Ferments, and Matt Rohde from Carpe Donut and Perfect Harmony. I'm MC Blair. And remember, eating real food, mostly from our local providers, is key to your health.